Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the old saying that there is nothing unavoidable except for death and taxes. And in this gospel for today, we get to hear about both of them. The Pharisees want to entrap Jesus. And so they come to him with a question. Is it lawful to pay the tax? Now, it seems like a fairly innocent question to modern-day Americans. We would probably ask a different question. Is it lawful not to pay the tax? And we know the answer. But it's a really important question for those who are asking Jesus, because, as I was telling the children, the coins were, of course, imprinted. Some of the coins were imprinted, the denarii, with an image of the emperor's head. And inscript around it, it would say, Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, emperor of the world. Now imagine if we struck a coin these days, what would we say? You know, can you imagine a coin with our president's face on it that says, George, son of George H., divine emperor of the world? Would we be a little offended? No matter who the president was? Can you imagine any country going to that country and having the picture of the modern ruler of that country saying it's a god? Well, remember that the Jewish people could have only one god, Yahweh. So they set this test, because if Jesus says, yes, it's lawful to pay the tax, then it's as if he's admitting that Caesar, that the emperor, is divine, that there is more than one God, and that it's okay to pay tribute to that God. They'd also know that if he says, no, it is not lawful for you to pay the tax under Jewish law, that they can have him arrested as a traitor and a person who is spreading sedition among the people. And so Jesus answers like a rabbi, right in the middle. He says, whose picture's on the coin? Well, it's Caesar. Now, those of us who grew up with the King James know what comes next. It's one of the great lines of the Bible. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. In a more modern translation, give the quack his money. But give everything else to the one who created all things. Well, it's not difficult to figure out what to give Caesar. These days, we call them taxes. And they're not that terribly difficult to figure out. At least they're not in my household. It's very easy in my household. I give my W-2 to my wife, and then I leave. And she figures out the taxes. And I leave because it's very stressful for me. The whole tax thing, I don't like taxes. And so it's one of the contracts of our marriage that she figures that for my mental health and her well-being, that she does the taxes. That's really not difficult. I mean, after all they do is give you a very simple chart, right? And you look on the chart and you figure out, okay, I make this much money, and so I pay this much taxes. Right? Isn't that right, Rusty? Isn't that how it works? Ah, deductions, who needs them? So it's not that hard to figure out what we have to give up to Caesar. But how do we figure out what we give up to God? It's a little more difficult. Until we realize, as we said a little bit earlier, that if we understand that everything is God's, it makes it a little bit easier. Listen to that little wonderful piece in the psalm, and I don't have my Isaiah here, but in Isaiah, here we go, I got it. It says to Cyrus, who was the one who actually sets the people free from the Babylonian captivity, he says, look, Who was the one who, you know, leveled the mountains? I'll break down the pieces of the door. I am the Lord, and there is no other beside me. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all of these things. In Genesis, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, who breathed life into everything. If Caesar's face is on the coin, then the imprint of God is on everything. It's our starting place for knowing what to give to God. Now, Jesus doesn't give us a chart. There's not a handy, you know, we could, although I kind of laughed because the stewardship people were in the 8 o'clock service and I realized, oh dear, we did a chart this year. After I said, oh, there's no chart. There isn't any chart that says, look, okay, now you have achieved an adequate amount to give to God. You've done well, good and faithful servant. Go on your way. Instead, what we say, and I sort of think of this as a Thanksgiving tax, right? I seldom give thanks to God when I pay my taxes. I may say some other things as I write the check, but usually I don't say, praise you, Jesus, for some, making me send this money out. But I do think about when I give not only money, but my life, which is more important, I think, than money in many ways. When I give my life and pour it out on the world, it's a thanksgiving for all that God has created and done. So often, we figure out what we're going to give monetarily, for instance, to the church by what we have left at the end of the month. Now, I have an idea. You know, recently in all of the presidential debates, there's been a lot of talk about taxes, right? I'm like sick of it, but I know it's important. So I have a new tax plan. It'll be called the church plan. What you do is at the end of every month, whatever is left over, you pay it in taxes. Wouldn't that work? Works for me. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Right? At the end of every month, we just give what's left. After we've put away our savings and done all this stuff, we just pay what's left in taxes. Well, would there ever be anything left? Not in my house. We have a play tax in my house. It's my favorite tax. Why is it then with our energy and our love and our gifts that so often we just give what's left? I just don't have the energy to volunteer at IHS. I'm just too tired. I've already given too much of myself away. Or when a neighbor calls and is in need of help and we're just like, oh, again. Imagine instead a gift of thanksgiving like the one that Jesus gives on the cross. That Paul describes in that letter to the Thessalonians of giving thanks for their work and their joy. It seems to me that we're so easily, well, not really terribly easily willing to give tax, but we know we need to do it. But yet at the same time, it's so difficult for us to pour ourselves out onto the world. And yet it's what we're called to as God's people. Paul will say, we give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers all the time. You are doing good work. I see that thanksgiving tax at work in the life of our church and in churches all around us and in faith communities around the world. That thanksgiving tax happened last Friday when a group of our people went and cooked and served at the Institute for Human Services. They didn't have to. They gave up. I saw it again as people on Friday night went to a gathering to celebrate 20 years of Habitat for Humanity, helping to provide houses, simple, decent housing for God's people. I see it every month when you give up food and money and time to go to the Angel Network. I see it in the food pantries in our synagogues, in our mosques, and in our churches. We'll see it again, time and time again, when you reach out to a friend in need. That's the stewardship of creation that is so powerfully an example of our thankful giving to God. It's not difficult, it seems, to figure out what your tax will be to the government. It may be hard to figure out exactly how it's all going to be spent. But I don't think it's that difficult to figure out what our portion is that we should give to God either. It's everything. We turn it all over. For it was God's to begin with, and God gifts it again and again to us and blesses us with good people, fine opportunity, a beautiful worship setting, a place to live that is unmatched, and the joy of being God's people. So indeed, we will continue, whether you like it or not, to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But oh, what a joy, what a delight to render unto God what is God's. Amen.